If you are age 45 or older, and if you grew up in the South, then you probably have memories of the last dying embers of the cultural Sabbath. I still get a pit in my stomach when I think about Sunday afternoons from my childhood. If you know where the Pitt Street Pharmacy is located there in the old village of Mount Pleasant, when I was a child, that intersection on a Sunday afternoon was a ghost town. There were no cars, there were no people, the shops were all closed. It felt so lonely. Ugh. Because regardless of whether a person believed in God or not, in the days of the cultural Sabbath, there were certain expectations about what a person should or should not do on a Sunday afternoon. One of my first jobs was mowing lawns. I posted a little advertisement, a little sign there in the window of that same Pitt Street Pharmacy, and it read, "Call Mr. Mow, 884-8248. And I'm sure those who saw it could tell this is a sixth grader who's drawn this sign. It was clearly evident, but even in spite of my terrible penmanship and lack of artistic ability, I actually got several calls. And one of those calls actually happened to be my neighbor, Mrs. Smith. Now, Mrs. Smith was a devout Methodist. And while it never would have even occurred to me to mow her lawn on a Sunday, she made it clear to me in no uncertain terms that I should not even think of mowing her lawn on a Sunday. In fact, when she went out of town and when she knew that, you know, her little domain would be unguarded, Mrs. Smith would call and leave a message on our answering machine and would say, "Now, Andrew, this is Mrs. Smith. Don't forget to mow my lawn, but be sure not to do it on a Sunday." Mrs. Smith did not want to be accused of aiding and abetting a Sabbath breaker. Well, the days of the cultural Sabbath are long gone, and friends, there's no use in crying over spilled milk. Because while, yes, the cultural Sabbath had a way of imposing a certain way of life upon us, the truth is, the cultural Sabbath made us all a little bit lazy when it comes to this command of God to observe the Sabbath. I assume that many of you have partaken of this amazing, a modern phenomenon known as the lazy river. Some of you have been on a lazy river. The reason they call a lazy river is because you don't have to do anything. You just get your little float, you put it in the water, you sit on the float, and the lazy river takes you wherever the lazy river takes you. And in a sense, that's a bit what it was like in the days of the cultural Sabbath. You didn't have to think about it. Because the culture determined what you should and should not do on a Sunday afternoon. But now, in our day, friends, we have to be deliberate if we are going to receive this gift of God called Sabbath. This morning, we heard the account of a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees regarding the Sabbath. And it's not the last time that Jesus and the Pharisees are going to come to verbal blows on the matter of the Sabbath and what it's really all about. And that raises an important question. What is the Sabbath exactly? That word, Sabbath, it's derived from the verb that means stop, halt, cease. From Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 14, which we heard just a moment ago, "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work." Stop. Now, from the time of Moses to the resurrection of Jesus, the Sabbath was observed on a Saturday, the seventh day of the week. In the Exodus account of the giving of the Ten Commandments, we heard the account from Deuteronomy, but in the Exodus account of the giving of the Ten Commandments, God explained it this way. He said, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So God is saying, in effect, be like me. I rested on the Sabbath day, therefore my people are to rest on the Sabbath day. But then Jesus came. The second person of the Trinity came down to earth, lived among us as a man, and then was crucified, and on the third day was resurrected. On the first day of the week, Sunday. And you can see in the writings of the earliest Christians that they felt a spiritual gravitational pull, pulling them from Saturday, the seventh day of the week, towards Sunday, the first day of the week, where they might join together as God's people to worship him. It was the day of the resurrection. It was the day of our salvation. It was the day when Jesus proclaimed that we could be forgiven and made one with God. You can understand the pull they felt to worship the Lord on Sunday. But Sunday was still a work week, work day. So those early Christians would get up early in the morning, and they would gather together for worship, and then they would go about their day, their first work day, the first day of the week, on Sunday. So in a sense, from the resurrection onward, the two essential ingredients of Sabbath, worship and rest, were then split across 2 days. Rest on Saturday, worship on the Lord's Day. In fact, we have the writings of second century bishops who are commending their people to observe what they now called the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, as the day when God's people should gather together to worship and give praise to God for the gift of his son Jesus and his resurrection. But then in the fourth century, Constantine declared that Sunday would be a day of rest for the entire Roman Empire. So all of a sudden, Sunday became a day off. And so the two essential ingredients of Sabbath, worship and rest, for Christians then came back together again and were reunited on the Lord's Day, Sunday. But whether it's observed on Saturday or Sunday, the Sabbath is a day to stop from our labors. And yet, it is clearly something more than that. Because going back to the controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees, both Jesus and the Pharisees affirmed that the Sabbath must be observed, but there was clearly a difference in their understanding of what the Sabbath was actually for. And the truth is, we have confusion in our day about the true heart of the Sabbath. Writing for the magazine Christianity Today back in 1994, the pastor and author Eugene Peterson, not to be confused with Jordan Peterson, who's become very popular, but Eugene Peterson, the author of the Message Bible version of the Bible, he wrote this about the Sabbath. And if you know Eugene Peterson, you know he can be a little bit colorful in his language, but I'm just going to quote him here, and here's what he said about the Sabbath. He said, "A widespread misunderstanding of Sabbath trivializes it by designating it a day off. A day off," writes Peterson, "is a bastard Sabbath. Days off are not without benefits, to be sure, but Sabbaths they are not." Now, what's Peterson driving at here? Peterson recognizes the need to understand the subtle but important difference between a secular Sabbath and a holy Sabbath. The secular Sabbath is completely utilitarian. I take a day off to catch my breath so that I'll be more productive when I go back to work the following day. The secular Sabbath is in service to the work week. But the biblical Sabbath, the real Sabbath, the holy Sabbath, it has a much deeper twofold purpose. The biblical Sabbath is both protective and it is healing. Going back to our passage from Deuteronomy, let me reread verse 15. God said to his people, he said, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Now, let's recall the context, because it's very important. God gave the Ten Commandments to his people shortly after freeing them from slavery. Now, you would think that having just been rescued from slavery, a life where God's people would have never had a day off, you would think that the one thing God's people would not need to be commanded to do is to stop working. And yet, the fundamental problem is that when a person has been enslaved for his entire life, then he begins to think of himself as a slave. That becomes his identity. Such a person needs to be reoriented, reprogrammed over and over again to be told, you are not a slave, you are a child of God. And friends, likewise, we, living as we do in a production-driven culture where a person is defined by what he can accomplish and what he can produce, we need to be reoriented, reprogrammed over and over and over again to be reminded that we are not merely what we produce or what we accomplish. No, we are sons and daughters of God. We are so much more than the work that we do. So the Sabbath serves a protective function in that it keeps us from buying into the lie of the enemy that we are only as good as what we produce or accomplish, and therefore we work ourselves to death trying to live into that lie. But the Holy Sabbath also has a proactive healing function. God gave us the Sabbath to make us new, to return us to what we were made to be. Children of God, created in God's image, redeemed by God's Spirit, or Son, rather, called by God's Spirit into ministry. You know, it's funny, the word recreation has become so domesticated and folksy. For example, many of you grew up playing softball or soccer or some other sport on your rec league. That is, a team that was put together by your local recreation department. But stop and think about that word and what it really means. Recreation. Re-creation. True recreation, Sabbath recreation, means stopping your work so that you can engage in that which will return you to the person that you were created by God to be. True recreation is that which brings our minds back in line with the mind of Christ. True recreation is that which brings our hearts back to the delight in the heart of the Father. True recreation is that which quickens our spirits to yearn for the priorities of the Holy Spirit. Sabbath means stopping our work and setting aside a day to worship and delight in our Creator as only the children of God can do. So whereas a secular Sabbath, a day off, serves a utilitarian function, a day off in service to the work week, the biblical Sabbath has the twofold purpose of protecting us from our tendency to work ourselves to death, buying into the lie of the enemy, while at the same time recreating us, reorienting us, renewing us into who we were created by God to be. Just to put it in simple terms, you and I, when we go back out into this world, we're going out into a world that is not going to remind us that we are God's sons and daughters. That is not what the world is going to tell you. This world is going to infect you and inflict you with a message that you are only as good as what you produce or accomplish. And we need to be healed by that week after week after week. And that's why from the beginning, God's people have gathered together for worship on the Sabbath. Because even though there's nothing explicit in the command of Sabbath, about worship, once you understand that the true purpose of Sabbath is to be recreated in the image of God, then it becomes obvious why corporate worship is essential for entering into Sabbath. Friends, there is nothing like corporate worship. There's nothing like it that will bring you back in line with God. We need to be reminded week in and week out that God loves us, Nothing does that like corporate worship, where the love of God is proclaimed. We need to be reminded week in and week out that we are forgiven, that we shouldn't be known by our biggest mistake. And every time we go forward to receive the bread and the wine, we are reminded Jesus gave his life that we might be forgiven. We have a need to be reminded that there is a purpose and a plan for our life in the midst of the chaos when it looks like it has no purpose and no plan. Nothing will do that like coming together in the presence of God where the Holy Spirit is present among his people to bless them. There's nothing like corporate worship that will enable true rest. Friends, you cannot rest. You cannot really rest unless you know that there is a God who loves you and who has redeemed you and who forgives you and has a plan for you. You can't enter into rest without those things. That's why corporate worship, week in and week out, is essential for us. This morning at the 8:15 service, we exchanged the peace. And if you've been here for 8 years like we have, you know that the exchanging of the peace is a lot different now than it was 8 years ago. But I'll tell you, this morning at the 8 o'clock service, I was sitting up there. Jeff had pronounced the absolution. We exchanged the peace. And it was like old home week out there in the congregation. People were waving at each other, not being unreverent, but they care about each other. The joy of the Spirit is present in this place. And you can't get that by yourself. Corporate worship is essential for entering into true Sabbath rest. So, Sabbath is a command, yes, but it's a command to receive a gift. That's what Jesus was saying here in verse 27. The Sabbath was made by God for man, not man for the Sabbath. So that's what Sabbath is. It's a weekly interruption in our work in order that we might return to God. But what does it actually look like? And this may require some discernment and maybe a little creativity on your part. Because while for many of us, we will be able to receive the two essential ingredients of Sabbath, worship and rest, on the same day, Sunday, for some of us, that might not be possible. For some of us, we might be those like those first Christians between the time of the resurrection and the fourth century when Constantine made Sunday a day off. Those Christians who had to, in a sense, split the essential ingredients of Sabbath across 2 days, a day of rest on Saturday and the Lord's Day to worship him on Sundays. So, for example, sometimes at our 8:15 service, we'll have folks come in scrubs. And you know that for them, Sunday is a day to worship, but it's also going to be a day to work. And so they're going to have to split the rest to another day. It's not so important what day that the rest falls on. The important thing is that we take it. And the second thing I'll say is that the biblical word is rest. So we worship and we rest on the Sabbath. But sometimes that word rest, it doesn't quite get at the spirit of what God is calling us into. I know as a child, when I heard about Sabbath rest, what I imagine is, you know, little old man, little old lady sitting around quietly just drinking weak tea. You know, that was kind of that's not the kind, a better word to get at what the Lord is calling us into is play. So the two essential ingredients of Sabbath are pray and play, corporate worship and delighting in him. And that's going to look a little different for all of us. If you spend your work week inside in an office, the play part of your Sabbath is probably going to take you outdoors. On the other hand, you know, someone like me, I love to pull weeds. That's one of the best ways I can rest and be recreated. But I have a good friend who owns a landscaping company, and the last thing he wants to do is pull weeds. That's not recreative for him. So we all have a need to go to the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus, and say, Lord Jesus, what does this day need to look like? I know the worship component, that part is obvious. We gather together for worship. But in terms of the rest component, the play component, Lord Jesus, what would you have me do? What would return me to you, to the person you made me to be? So there's some prayer in that. There's some discernment in that. But the two key ingredients are pray and play, worship and rest. Chris found this wonderful hymn, and we're going to sing it for communion. And I want to read the words of this hymn, The Lord's Day. It's on page 9 as we close. And the author of the hymn writes this. O day of all the days, the best, when laid aside each earthly care, we meet with God's dear saints so blessed, and in their praise and worship share. There's nothing like joining together with God's people. There's nothing like it. Not by a rigid code, we're bound with death to all who disobey, but through God's love within us found, we keep this precious worship day, week in and week out. This day our Lord in triumph rose to give us hope beyond the grave. He conquered all our many foes and proved his mighty power to save. We glory in what God has done through us, for us through his Son Jesus. And finally, so in remembrance we will keep this blessed resurrection day, the pledge of all who wake or sleep, that they shall live through him for aye. Friends, the Sabbath is indeed a gift. Yes, it is a command, but a command to receive a gift. Do not forsake it. Take the gift of the Father. Seek the guidance of the Son, the Lord of the Sabbath. And by the power of the Spirit, receive the true rest that will bring you back to the person you were created to be. God said, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you. Forgive us for our disobedience to your command, and for our ungratefulness for this gift you have given. Grant us the grace, we pray, to enter into Holy Sabbath, to pray and play, to worship and rest as you command, that through this Sabbath gift we might be healed, restored, and renewed to become the men and women you made us to be. For we ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. Amen.